So I'm going down the highway and I'm looking to my right and I'm seeing a bunch of grass and trees and bushes and stuff like that. And I'm sitting here thinking, to my left, I'm seeing concrete, mechanical cars, technology. To my right, I'm looking at nature and trees. And then right in front of me, I'm seeing technology and cars and stuff that breaks down. To my right, I'm looking at dirt and trees and bushes that never break down. To my left and front, I'm looking at man-made stuff that breaks down. To my right, I'm looking at God stuff that just keeps renewing itself. Just keeps growing. The trees just keep growing, you know. It's pretty wild. So as I look to the right, I look in front, I look at the left, and now I've got trees and stuff on the left. And I'm looking at a road that was paved in between, a man-made road that needs to be patched and repaired all the time. So everything that man does requires maintenance, requires rebuilding, patching, fixing. Everything that man makes requires a fix. Everything that God made, it just keeps growing. The seed goes down in the ground and there's more growth. But man hasn't made anything that just keeps growing unless it's a bacteria. What God creates, it just keeps growing. What man creates, it just keeps going downward, spiraling downward. The earth is going to be renovated because of man's sin, the sin of man, not because God messed up. You know, they talk about the sun will destroy the earth in a billion years. No, God has a plan. He knows that the sin of man is going to get so bad that he has to take the church and rapture the church out of this place. And he's going to have to judge the lost. And he's going to have to purge the place for 1,000 years, because that's the seventh day. So 1,000-year reign of Christ, because Christ has to rule for 1,000 years before he can deliver this earth up to God, birthing the earth. So the earth is a birthing machine. And so God's creation will be renovated when it's over, but it's going to last. It could last for a long time, forever. It just keeps growing. There's actually a protection to keep us from having meteors and stuff like that. If you really look at the earth plane and you look at it from way out, you know, you step out of this thing, you see time doesn't exist. You see that the earth has a protection around it. Everything's protected. The planets, if it's the way they say it is, if NASA's right about the planets and all, they're set up in such a way to cause gravity to keep stuff from coming in. And the magnetic field and all that. If that's true, the atmosphere burns up the meteors. So God is protecting this place in many ways. And you got water everywhere. You got fish everywhere, food everywhere, rabbits, squirrels, birds. You got unlimited food, unlimited resources. But why is man under such a scarcity mindset when there's unlimited resources right in your backyard, you know? Right to my right, I look to the right and I see all these trees and the grass and you could actually just walk out in these woods and build you a house. Probably dig you a hole in the ground and get some water. Build you a bird trap or a rabbit trap. You got free food. But man's trying to make it easier. with all this technology. He's trying to make it easier on himself, but it's actually more to maintain. The more stuff you have, the more it owns you. The more stuff you own, the more it owns you. Did you hear what I'm saying? The more stuff you own, the more the stuff owns you. The more houses you own, the more lawnmowers you need. It's the way it works. The more houses, the more plumbers, the more electricians you need, the more roofers you need, the more landscapers you need, the more stuff, the more the expense. Your computer, your phone always dies when you least when you don't want it to die, it just dies, you know. It's sad, ain't it? The banks crash, the corporations crash, this economy crashes, the money crashes, the gold crashes, all the stocks, everything crashes and burns that man makes. If the forest burns down, it just grows right back up. You see what happened with a nuclear blast, it just grew back up. They thought once they dropped a nuclear bomb somewhere that the land would be desolate, but the grass and the flowers and the plants, they grow right back up. What's that about? I thought a nuclear bomb poisoned everything, but the stuff just keeps growing. Some people say nuclear bombs are just a lie, you know. Drop a bomb and on the earth and it just keeps growing. It might destroy all the trees, but they just grow right back up. How is that possible? How's that possible? People, saints, believers, how's that possible? The clouds just keep giving rain. The rain, the moisture goes up, it rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on the just and the unjust. Who are the just? There's none good, no, not one. So who are the just? Those who trusted Jesus. Those who enter in by faith. I don't care who you look at. I don't care where you look, who you look at, when you look. The heart's deceitfully wicked. The only way you're going to get a new heart is Jesus. And so when you get a new heart, that's when the sanctification starts. When does it end? When you get your glorified body. So don't expect somebody to be perfect down here. Don't expect anybody to be perfect, because they're not. They're perfect in Christ, seated in the heavenlies above. Yeah, they're perfect in Christ. Their faith makes them perfect. But it's not their faith. It's the Holy Spirit in them. It's Christ in you. It's the faith in the finished work of Jesus, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your good works and your good deeds will be rewarded. Your bad works and your bad deeds will be judged. The bema seat and the lost. For the saints is the bema seat. For the lost, it's a great white throne judgment. So works will be judged, and there will be rewards, but you're already sealed until the day of redemption. Now that you have the truth, you're enlightened, now what are you going to do about it? You going to do good works or bad works? Well, God won't let you do bad works. He'll force you to be good. If you're His, He will either force you to do right or take you out early. You will get a scourging one way or the other. And if you keep running from God, He's going to take you out of this place. He's going to yank a knot in you and two or three times really strong, and then if you keep on, He'll take you home. There's a lot of people that go home early, but they're saved as by fire, you know. And so they are saved, but they get taken out early. They lose a lot of blessings, you know. There's a lot of people that you think their God is blessing them, but they're internal. They have an internal turmoil that you don't even see. The outside looks good, But God is scourging them on the inside. There's an internal turmoil. They don't even know that it's the judgment of God. But they're not happy. They're looking for... And if you really talk to a lost person long enough, I don't care who it is, if you talk to a lost person long enough, they are not happy. They have no peace. They have no joy. They might have some happiness on the weekend or when they get drunk, but they're not happy. They usually hate their job. They hate everything. Most of them don't have any hobbies that are beneficial, and most of the stuff they're doing is a part of the death cult. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're a death cult. They're in a death cult. Sick. They're sick. They're lost. They're hell-bound. I tell you, I looked to my right, and the woods and the trees and the land cleanses itself. I looked to my left, and all the grease on these cars and all the grease on the road and all the people who have to take a shower every day and brush their teeth every day and wash their feet and their underarms, otherwise they stink. I see the land cleanses itself. But man just makes a mess. Mankind makes a mess. Mankind makes a mess. Why do we call it mankind? Why does the Bible say mankind instead of womankind? Because the woman was a piece cut off. Why is the term mankind work? Why is it even a word? Because the word kind means like, similar. The woman's like a reflection of the man. That's why she's a responder. That's why she has this desire to her husband. If she's lost, she has a desire to her husband to rule over him. If she's saved, she has a desire to rule, to submit to the husband in the proper order. If the man is lost, he has a desire to rule over the woman like a dictator. If the man is saved, he has a desire to rule over the woman in a loving way, to wash the washing of the water of the word, right? To the cleansing, to teach sound doctrine to the family, you know, to get them to think right. And so it's so obvious everywhere you look, the truth is everywhere, that mankind needs a savior, needs some help. Mankind needs help from above. Can man rule himself? No, not without God. So what does God do in a nation or anywhere? Because it goes back to Romans 13. God uses authority. Now, what if you have a bad authority? You cry out to God and you say something and God corrects authority. God will correct your authority, but if you try to correct and make it according to what you want, your will, your way, if you try to do it, he's not going to, if you try to do it, he don't need to do nothing, right? But if you say, Lord, my authority, my government authority, my whatever authority you have is acting stupid and acting crazy, and Lord, make sure my heart's right. Make sure it's not me. Maybe they're acting crazy because I'm acting crazy. But if you get your heart right, and you're doing right, best, and you've already prayed about the situation, whatever situation it is, you got yourself straight, then they're gonna have to pay, right? They're gonna have to pay for treating somebody right wrong who's doing right. Think about what I'm telling you. Because you reap what you sow. The Bible says you reap what you sow. If you got somebody under your authority who's doing right, and you're mean for no reason, But let's say you got somebody under your authority who's provoking you and acting stupid and crazy and going off the deep end, then they're gonna get a reflection from their authority. It's always working. Doesn't matter if it's, and you could have an authority, but you could be authority over somebody else. There's always an authority over you, always. And a lot of people with the Jezebel spirit, they're trying to get out of authority. But you're not going to escape it ever. Even when you get your new body, God is authority. You're always going to have an authority. You're even in this life and the life to come. Come on, people. You're going to have to start swallow that pill. This is what most people are running from. You don't even know it. This is what you're running from. You're running from authority. And you don't even know it. That's sad. But there's going to be authority in this life and the life to come forever. So why are you trying to run from authority when authority's never going away? You're wasting your time running. You're wasting energy and effort. You're not going to escape it. You're just not going to escape it. Ever. You're not going to escape authority ever. Why fight it? There's always authority. Why fight it? You might say, well, I want to run my own business. Okay, that's fine. But you still have authority. You have authority with the government that you're under. They're the ones that pave. In order for you to run your business, they pave the roads and they give you commerce. There's always authority. It doesn't matter if you're in China, USA, Russia, wherever. Even your own island. If you owned your own island, there's still authority somewhere. There's always authority. It's not going away. Who was it? John McAfee? McAfee, he became a pirate out on his own boat. He was running from authority. He was a pirate, right? What happened? They took him out. They took him out. He's dead. You can't escape authority. If you get out there and you become a pirate on a boat, on a ship somewhere, and you try to dock on somebody's land, what's going to happen? Everybody says, I'm free man on the land. You're going to submit to somebody, somewhere. Somehow, somewhere. Yeah, we all want to escape authority. I understand. I understand how bad authority can be. Human authority, I understand that. But you're still going to have God's authority. And you can actually use authority as a feedback loop to see where your heart is. It's all about your heart anyway. You can actually use authority in your life to get a feedback loop to see if your heart is right. Seriously. Even a man can use his wife as a feedback loop to see if his heart's right. The woman can use her authority, the husband, to get a feedback loop to see if her heart's right. If they even care about their heart. I mean, don't you want a heart that's right towards God? Don't you want a good heart instead of a bad heart? Really, it's so simple. And you see people fighting against authority, and it's because they're not understanding the feedback loop. And the reason I'm laughing is because it's like, can you imagine being God and he keeps hitting you with the same thing every time and you keep rebelling? Lord, every time I do that, you give me a spanking, but I keep doing it. Why do I keep doing it? Well, that's a good question, son, daughter. Why do you keep doing it? I keep hitting you with a 2x4 and knocking you down. Why do you keep doing it? It's bad for you. I'm trying to help you. Why do you keep doing something that's bad for you? Why do you love the death cult? Why don't you love life? I'm telling you what's right. Do it. And I'm actually giving you grace by spanking you. I mean, if you really want to take it to the nth degree, if God doesn't scourge you and spank you, then you're a bastard. You're not his. God only scourges his own, the people that are his own. God scourges every son he receives, Hebrews 12. I had people on Yahoo a long time ago, they said, God don't scourge his people. Yeah, he does. Hebrews 12 says it. It's right there in the Bible. The reason they don't want to believe it is because they have emotions instead of sound doctrine. The Bible says it. In Hebrews 12, God scourges every son he receives. Why would some of those Pentecostal women fight against that? God don't scourge me. Yeah, he does. Or you're not. So you're a bastard. You're not his. God don't scourge me. So you're calling yourself a bastard without a father, without a spiritual father. You're pretty much saying your God is the devil, because the devil's not going to scourge you. The devil wants you to destroy yourself. God doesn't want you. So if you say God doesn't scourge me, that means you're pretty much saying that you're a child of the devil and you're a bastard and you don't have the God of the Bible, because the Bible says God scourges every son he receiveth. Every son. Mankind. The daughters also get a scourging. God scourges every son he receives. And if you think you're going to escape it, if you think you're going to escape it, you're fooling yourself. God scourges every son he receives. The devil's crowd are their own worst enemy. They destroy themselves because they don't have a restrainer. So God, be thankful. You need to be thankful for the restrainer. Need to be thankful that God restrains you and corrects you and guides you, admonishes you, rebukes you, reproves you. Be thankful that God does spank and reprove and rebuke and push you to the right path, because the devil's kids don't have that. The devil just lets them do it. The devil actually wants his people to commit suicide, do all this evil, and the devil loves that. He's a murderer and a liar. The devil likes it when his children lie and do evil stuff. That's what the devil is. But the devil's just a reflection of the flesh mind. And so man gave his authority over to the devil, and he stepped into the kingdom of darkness instead of the kingdom of light. So the kingdom of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, is the kingdom of Tyre, T-A-R. Tyre, Tyre, Tyre. The kingdom, the king of Tyre is the king of the Tyre, the king of the flesh. And so that's what's happening, people. It's so obvious. It's as plain as the nose on your face. And all I have to do is look to my right and see that God's creation cleanses itself. Man's creation destroys itself, and it falls apart, and it gets rusty, and it's sad. It's really sad. I need to study the metal that's in the ground. You know, mankind mines the metal, you know. Does the metal in the ground that God created, does it rust? Or is it only when man puts it into a shape and a form and then it starts to rust, you know? Think about it. Think about what I'm saying. Man pulls different kind of metals out of the ground. And then when man pulls it out of the ground and builds something, then as soon as it starts to oxidize, it starts to rust. So that tells you the metal in your body needs certain chemicals, like omega-3s probably, to stay healthy. Otherwise, you're going to have some rust. And that tells you fasting will cleanse out the old cells, push out the old for the new. So you can look at the way the earth renews itself and figure out how to renew yourself with your body, you know. These truths are right in front of us. And that's why I'm saying, I look to my right, I look out in front, look to my left, I see man-made versus God-made, and I can actually see deep truth that applies across the board as a fractal holographic archetype. Let me say that again. I can look to my right, I can look to my left, I look in front, and I can see deep truth that's a fractal holographic archetype through and through. Man has to paint metal so it doesn't rust. Man has to put a coat of paint on metal so that it doesn't rust. A coat, a covering. What does a covering go back to? The blood covering, the blood of Jesus has to cover the sin of man. So everything that man does in the energies of flesh is nothing but sin. And he has to have a covering. He has to be covered by the blood. And that's why the moon goes around the earth or whatever it does. It has to cover. Because moon means blood. Moon means mint, and mint goes back to blood. And so there has to be a blood covering in types and shadows everywhere. And you see that in Genesis 3. God had to kill an animal, skin the animal, and make coats to cover them. They said, he says, why are you hiding? We're naked. Well, you need a covering. I got to kill an animal as a type and shadow of Christ going to the cross to cover you. And Adam was a prophet. He knew. He knew what it was about. And you know he told Eve. She might have known too. Because she saw what happened. She was ashamed. That's actually a type and shadow of the age of innocence. In all humans, they hit age, what, 12, 13, 14, and then they make a choice to sin. Before that, they didn't even know what it was. The age of innocence in all humans. Everything's a type and shadow in a micro and a macro way. And so it's so obvious, it's not even funny. I had a long ride, so I just started recording. I had no idea what I was going to talk about, but I think it's some good information. You don't have to agree with me, but you can't help but learn something. You can't help but think. When you listen, you can't help but think in a deeper way. It's impossible not to expand your mind after listening to what I just said, if you really listen. Your mind has to be expanded. Do you hear what I'm saying? It has to be expanded. This truck behind me wasn't wanting to let me over. You would think these truckers would be friendly. They don't care. They don't care. It's all about me. You're going down the highway, people, you don't know what somebody's going through. They might be having a heart attack. They might be having an anxiety attack. They might be tired. They might just be confused. They might be reading the signs wrong. They could be nervous. They could be in a hurry to get to the hospital. You just don't know people. And then when it happens to you, you should remember back when you were mad at somebody else. When you start doing rides here like Uber and all, it wakes you up to the fact that people are always going to mess up on the highway. And if you get mad, that's stupid. That's childish. Even if they're doing it on purpose, you don't have to respond. Just always be aware. Give you some space in front of you to the side the best you can. If somebody acts stupid, just let them go, because they just haven't arrived yet. They haven't learned the lesson yet. Put your turn signal on. Drive the speed limit, because a wreck could happen in a moment. And you could be part, you could be the problem. You might end up in jail for murder. You gotta be aware, you gotta be awake, you gotta do your duty to mankind on the highway or wherever. God is pretty much telling me to be nicer on my podcast. Start speaking nicer to people. Because everybody's a beggar at the foot of the cross, and everybody's got issues, and everybody's got problems, everybody's in the growth. And it takes some people longer, that's all. It takes a long time. And without God's intervention, you would never see any truth, really. The God of this world has blinded the minds of people, so He's telling me by His Spirit, I didn't hear a voice, He's telling me by His Spirit to kind of be nicer to people, be more patient with people. Because He was patient with me and you, we have to be more patient with people. That's what He's telling me in the Spirit. And if I don't listen, I'll probably get a scolding. What happens in your childhood can affect your personality, but you don't have to stay that way. You can actually overcome it, but you have to admit it. If you were raised in a childhood of chaos, then you are always looking for peace. You're always on guard for some chaotic person. But you have to realize that was your childhood. Not everybody had that kind of childhood. And so you have to step out of it, look at yourself, and say, all right, so I was raised around a bunch of drunks and druggies, redneck, chaotic people, ignorant people who hated God, hated themselves, and I was trying to escape that, but you know, I don't have to let that control me anymore. I don't have to get revenge, I don't have to be bitter, and I don't have to live in that. That's not even my identity. Those ideas, those thoughts, those ways of thinking are not even who I am. But I'm telling you, it's affecting you without you even knowing it. But if you become aware, step outside yourself, look in at yourself, and say, why am I acting that way? Why does that upset me? Why does that worry me? Why does that make me mad? Why am I living in fear? Why do these patterns repeat? Why am I anxious, or whatever it is that you are? Why are these? Because something in your childhood. And you know, it used to say, well, when a family splits up, that causes a bad person. But there's families that stay together who are toxic. There's husband and wives together right now who are toxic in front of the children. And that's worse than if they one of them was alone in peace. It can be toxic in a marriage, outside of marriage. It doesn't matter. The secret is to do your best to be introspective and to pray for the kids. And they should be, put them around, and it's hard to find it nowadays. I know, try to put them around healthy stuff, healthy people. Because you might have issues. You might have issues where you're not healthy. You think you are, but you're not. I've talked to enough college kids doing Uber where they'll say, yeah, my family, I'm glad to be in college because I got away from that toxic family. they said they were, you know, they loved their parents, but it was, they said it was, they live in a talk, they speak toxic and they think toxic. Really? That happened, that's happened a lot. I've heard that same story a lot. And it could be all kinds of issues. It could be something like possessiveness. It could be abuse. It could be mental abuse. It could be fighting and arguing and yelling and screaming and greediness. And it could be legalism. It could be somebody who has a perfectionist parent. They're always a everything has to be perfect. I mean, there's a thousand things it could, a person could go into, and the child is affected and don't even know it. Because that's what they're used to. They think that's normal. That's all they've ever known, you know. Woo! Lord, I am tired for sure. Let me say one last thing, and I'm going to shut this down. And I think the Apostle Paul said, be kind to one another, forgiving one another, and try to look at the other person's perspective. If you tell them your perspective and they hear you, praise God. If they keep acting stupid, look at their perspective, just separate. Don't be mad at them, just get away from them if they're toxic. Try to help the toxic, but if they're pulling you down, just don't be mad. Just fade off in the sunshine, you know. Fade off in the sunset. Let it fade. If they're toxic, let them fade off into the sunset, or you fade off into the sunset, because there's no reason to live in the past or worry or anxious or unforgiveness or bitterness. You can't fix them. You can't fix somebody. Just let it fade. Let it fade. Because there's always a new day, there's always a new friend, a new person, a new whatever. Just let them fade, because you're not here to fix people. You're here to give them the good news, and then you're here to live in cornucopia in the inner man. Cornucopia in the inner man is true cornucopia. And so if they don't want to live in that state, let them go. Just, if you don't know what the word cornucopia means, look it up. You should have cornucopia in the inner man, no matter what state you are in the outer man. And if there's toxic people around you destroying that cornucopia of the inner man, then get them out of your life, or you walk away. One or the other.